overwhelming majority church, but there are some who do not talk about the church. There are mobs, a government assembled people, a group meeting together for some purpose. In Galatians 1:22, he talked about the church's relation. And there he's talking about Christians spread out. And this is Galatians 1:22. And these are spread out. They refer to the spiritual unity of all believers in Christ, even though they are not physically assembled. And this is going to be an important matter I want to touch on shortly later. The church can be a group of people like this, or it can be seen as believers spread around an area. And there are two aspects of the church I feel that are important. The first is the universal church. From the day of Pentecost to the rapture, anybody who came to know Jesus Christ is part of the blessings, the future, the hope, no matter where they worship and what they did, they're part of the universal church who knows Jesus Christ. All right? So this is important because there are people spread out all over the world who know Christ. I met people in Columbia from around the world. There were a lot of people, and I met a Polish man one day. He spoke excellent English, and really good. And he was a believer. Now, when he asked what I was doing, he said, well, I'm minister of the gospel here in Columbia, working to reach people. And he said some things, and you knew immediately he was a believer. You know, I found out over the years that a true believer declares themselves. For years, I was pastoral consultant over the doctrine agency here in Milwaukee, maybe 5 or 6 years, ECFA. And my responsibility was to just talk and get to know the couple with one specific purpose. Do they know Jesus Christ? The ECFA has the right to adopt people to choose, but there are certain laws. And so the couple would come in, and almost the moment I started talking, I'm doing it with believers in that Jesus is declared. See, there's no messing around, no talking around and being confused. So I got to know these people and how they were born again, to give their testimonies and how they met each other. And one thing I learned about some of these couples, some of them who were raised in Christian homes got married before they became a Christian. And many of them came to know Christ after. It's really interesting what happened. So that sometimes they're kind of naughty before they get to 20 stuff. But you declare very clearly what you are. So the church is scattered. Acts 8:1-3, after the persecution of Stephen, and Paul was raging against the church, and it says the church was scattered. And these people are thousands of them. And I don't think that the thousands on the day of Pentecost built a huge building with a water fountain in front to let everybody know that they were a church. I'm being cynical, but these people are believers and spread out. And that's one of the ways we believe that the world at that time was evangelized. These people talked about Jesus Christ as they went out. So the church spread. So part of what I would call a universal church, right? So Stephen was killed and Paul was angry and wanted persecution, and these people spread out. Matthew 16:18, the church is still future. Well, the church talks about the church's future. Not Israel rebuilt. And so it's still future. And when you read that portion, the church is built upon the confession that Peter gave. Who do people say that I am? And the disciples said that, and some of the prophets. And the Lord said, who do you think I am? And Peter makes this statement, and it's really clear. That's right, Peter. And upon, now I'm adding to please, but upon that reality confession, I, in the future, I'm going to build something with people who believe in that. So, according to the scriptures, the church is the work of Christ. It's not ours. Leaders in the local church are not men who are responsible for building it, not responsible in the sense of deciding what it should be like in the sense we're going to do this or that. Our goal is to do this or that, and the church should be this. It boils down to this, that Christ is the architect, and that the elders and the leaders in the church need to understand God's purposes. What does God want to do with us? What has he made of us? What does he wish to accomplish? And our goal is to understand that, not decide what we think the church should be. But using the scriptures, it is hot in here. But using the scriptures for this purpose. So, the work of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians, he's a builder. He's the one who planted, builder. He's the chief cornerstone. We need to understand what he wants to do and how he wants to do it and who he wants to do it with. So that's one of the things we're to find out. Not just the history, the past, and the things. Also, it is a future tense, I will build. That's prophetic. When he was on earth, until after his ascension and dead Pentecost, in one sense, the church did not exist. And that's the next thing I'd like to talk about. Anyway, it's a new unity, all right? I will build. I'm taking people who have this confession and I'm putting it together to do something with them. According to my purposes in the world and the local community. And so these really are important. It's a new entity. Belongs to Christ. I will build. I have a goal. When I went to Columbia as a missionary, I understood what he wanted us to do. Take the gospel. The people, we did a lot of work back in the mountains. The goal was to help them understand the gospel, come to know Jesus Christ, and teach them the word of God so they could conduct their lives, so they could meet together simply, and we could go, and it would keep going on. He is the builder. He is the one. He knows how he wants to. Every one of us. And so this becomes important. It belongs to Christ. And as I said before, it's universal, not just local. It's universal. It would be really interesting when we get home to heaven to find out some of the medieval people, history, who were believers in Jesus Christ. And no, they didn't have all the light we had about doctrine things. We're believers. We're going to meet so many people. See, we're going to know them. And we all rejoice together. Christ is the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, the chief cornerstone. And the church is built, according to Ephesians 2:20, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Must remember, this is important to us. That the inspiration of the New Testament wasn't taking place until after the church was formed. What I'm simply saying, the apostles were teaching by inspiration. They did not know a lot when Pentecost took place. The baptism of the Spirit formed the church, put this together. They didn't know a lot, but God was showing them. These apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and teachers, these people were understanding, and as the scriptures are written, they are showing what God is doing through inspiration. So when I say that the New Testament didn't really exist on the day of Pentecost, but God would be giving the truth. The inspiration of scripture is very important. All right. So it's built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. And according to Acts 2:42, the apostles had some authority over it. For example, it says they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread. So these apostles were doing these things among the people. Local churches, there may have been a few, but we're talking about 1,000 people or more. And these apostles, you can see what they were doing among the crowd. And they even asked some men, we're too busy doing things. And they asked these people to do some work, table waiting, other things. So this is what it means. And the prophet's ministry is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4:3. There's Revelation. And you can see in Corinthians that it is not yet done. But there comes a time when inspiration is done. There's still James and John and Jude. Now, some of you may be squinting, but I'm simply saying they did not have a whole New Testament. Right? When these believers in Galatians, what did they have? Galatians was one of the first letters, and then Romans and others. God is taking this, and through the apostles and the prophets, he is bringing the truth to light. So the New Testament is not inspired from the Old Testament, even though it has types of truth. And there comes a time when the New Testament inspiration is stopped. During the time of the apostles, it was growing, stopped, and when it was done, while there may have been teachers and some prophets around, these prophets may not have been giving you inspiration, but they may have been bringing to our minds and hearts how to live. These first meetings in Corinth. Corinthians. And they got up and said, some of you have a psalm, some of you have this, some of you have that. Doesn't mean that they were always giving some new truths. Inspiration hasn't gone. It's not going on to a pope who suddenly decides these moral issues are too complicated to deal with, so we'll just accept them. And I hope you understand, I tend to give more. Time goes on, but right now I'm having a difficult time and my eyes are dry. Okay, so there are times they receive special revelation of God. Paul, he opens up and you read Romans, you read any New Testament. You know that God was in there leading him, inspiring him to give the truth. And I believe firmly that the day came when inspiration of the Holy Spirit toward the scripture, stop. We have the inspired word of God here and now. But there's no more of it going on. If a person gets up into a meeting and says that they say something and God's giving me the direct message from himself to give to you, beware. Beware of what he's going to say and what he's going to do. There was a while in Columbia. There was a group of people who were interested in reaching businessmen, and Columbian businessmen at that time had no interest in it at all because the gospel the New Testament churches and others were just poor people. Something that Hillary would call the poor. They were just nothing in society. They're just people who are poor and needy, and they use religion to make themselves happy. But gradually, this group of men started getting to meet men. And they finally had a big banquet, big hotel, Tech and Don. And it's really a fancy place. And so doctors, politicians, and people were coming, bankers, to hear this. So the leader of this group, unfortunately, had different ideas about his prayers. He talked about how he'd been praying, and God gave him his vision. God gave him his understanding. And basically, he was just repeating the New Testament. So he said, we have a man who's going to play the piano. And he's the man who's going around, and he's under the inspiration of God. He's coming up with divinely directed music from heaven. I prayed and so did others. So he sat down and played. And it was beautiful. I don't know anything about music. It was beautiful. A man sitting next to me, I could hear better in those days, said to me, I'm a concert piano player. All he did was play bits and pieces from well-known classical songs. Okay. So he said, there's nothing here. There's nothing. He wasn't interested in anything else. He thought that the moderator program really was trying to push upon them new things, new inspiration. My point simply is this. The New Testament is fully inspired. There will be no more. And before Pentecost, other than the teaching of the Lord, there was no. The apostles were told in 40 days, wait, and as John was baptized, you will be baptized in the Spirit. And so they were waiting. They were praying. They were waiting. But they didn't really know what's going to happen. As far as I can see, they couldn't tell people here. There's a piece of paper and 37 days is going to happen. You better be here. Whoa, you're going to get knocked off your feet. And you're going to see things about God and you're going to see them. Yeah, Pentecost was an incredible day that is not to be repeated. Listen, that is not to be repeated. There are believers who look at the day of Pentecost and say, this is the day, not just when the church was formed, but when God gave gifts to the church, right? Because God gave gifts to the church. Every time a person believes, needs to have this kind of experience, the filling, the anointing, whatever word they wish to choose. And all it was taking these people and putting them the baptism of the Spirit, and it says in Corinthians, you belong to one another, you are, you all have the same experience. And this is important. The inspiration of Scripture was not complete in Paul's time. It still changed. Jude, John, and other these things be inspired. And what's interesting to me is that the church fathers, which we find sometimes confusing, many of them, the early ones, understood there would be no more revelation. All right, so the local church and the congregation of believers, then local church and the congregation of believers in a particular place here. And we are We meet together. When we come on Sunday morning to meet together, we are part of this unique experience of the body of Christ. When we're born again, at that moment, we all receive the Holy Spirit. All of us. And you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to go through all kinds of emotions regularly. Some people on the day of Pentecost, obviously emotional. It just hit the crowd in a very incredible way. I came to know Christ one time late at night in 1959 in somebody's car in the name of the Lord. I had nothing like that. All I had is when I went to bed, I got to get up early for the factory. But I believe my things were settled with God. When I woke up in the morning and went to work, and I worked at a farmer, and when I went to work in the morning at the canteen, I always bought a sweet roll and a pack of cigarettes. And I could go through 20 cigarettes in a day working. And if I didn't, if I got to that, I would mooch them off or something. Well, anyway, that morning I went in, about close to noon, and I started, I forgot to buy cigarettes. Well, and then I thought, you've been wanting to get rid of it, and it's done. I went out at lunch. Now, I hadn't had any instruction yet. I went out at lunch, and we would sit out in good weather. We'd sit on top of barrels or whatever to talk. And some of the guys there told dirty jokes, or they said things about their wives. And I participated before. I was sitting there having my sandwich, and I suddenly felt very, very uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. And I got up and I walked over to the coffee machine. In those days, it was a dime and it wasn't even worth a dime. It was instant coffee. As Colombians call American coffee, agua sucia, dirty water. That's what it was, agua sucia. And I thought to myself, you feel ashamed listening to that. Wow. That was the first time in 12 hours after I came to the Lord that I felt, wow, I say, it's true. It's true. Anyway, on we go. I was told I could run over time because the caterers might be a little late, so we'll have another hour. We may take, I'll have you stand up a little bit. No. I hope you're with me because I'm really struggling to get my thoughts in order. That part of the problem, I think, of being my age, and not always being sharp. I want to make my coffee. I have pods, and I know how to make it strong, and I like it. And the other day, I went to the microwave. No, this is what over here. Little things like that. Okay. The Lord is good and great. All right. So the church is a mystery formed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And when you think about the Holy Spirit creating, for example, the creation of Adam, Holy Spirit, the conception of Mary by the Spirit, it's that kind of work. You know, when it comes to the church, he creates brand new life in us and works together with us. So he points to the future Pentecost, and he says that the church will be baptized in the Spirit, but they didn't understand. But at least they're waiting. One of the things people say, I'm moving around here because I think I have time to do this. They seem to say that, I'm sorry, I just forgot what I was going to say. See, I told you. It's weird. Kind of creepy. Now look down here. Well, I totally forgot. It's okay. It's on my tongue. And so here, let me just review this. The thoughts come, I'll continue. The baptism of the Spirit is necessary for entry into the church. That is the Holy Spirit looking currently. Every believer receives the work of the Spirit. The new birth is the Holy Spirit in our life, and they fit into the body, and it is necessary, this baptism in the Spirit, not in water, but this baptism in the Spirit is necessary for entry into the church. And the Holy Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost. Now, the Holy Spirit was at work before Pentecost. So some could say, well, the Holy Spirit would work at work before Pentecost. Therefore, you know, the Spirit was in the water. Of course, this is a unique idea. All of us, whoever we are, brought together because of Jesus Christ. And he gives us gifts, and he gives us understanding. Right? The Holy Spirit is given on the day of Pentecost, and the work of the Spirit before Pentecost, but this was there, but this just took place at Pentecost. Wow. And so it's time for me to end this. And I suppose as I start these studies, and then I'm told that you're not going to speak that Sunday, that somebody else is going to speak. I kind of cool off a bit. I've been studying. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I had to catch up this week. I had to catch up fast. And this morning, when I was having my coffee, good coffee, time to pack coffee, I knew I was going to struggle. And that maybe that's the end. Because I remember how I'm going to end this. Years ago, I read Charles Berger's book on messages to my students. And Charles Berger was an outstanding speaker. And he was talking to them about speaking preparation and about moods. About mood when you speak. And he said, there are times, even if after I've studied, when I climb the stairs to the pulpit, they had these high big pulpits up there. They didn't have microphones and Zoom. When I climb the stairs, I know I'm in for a bath. I know I'm going to have a hard time. Whether it's Satan, human wounds, or whatever it might be. So I'm going to leave this. But the main point today is the church is brand new and it's not Israel rebuilt. Everybody who's born again receives the Holy Spirit. It's part of the body. And I want to go on and talk about how we fit in a group of people. And when I came to the assemblies after I had been in other organizations, Christian organizations, and glad to be part of it. It's like light came on. A new light, new understanding. Because see, for years I was having a hard time. I was not accepted by certain schools to prepare for the Bible ministry. And I was told that because I was not ordained, I couldn't speak in place. And as I began to understand these New Testament principles, I had real joy. I should not be standing here. I should not have these Sundays to speak because I am not qualified to be in this kind of work. And yet when I'm put into the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit gives you gifts and starts leading you, It's amazing what can be done. So I thank you for listening to my whole thing and my problem. And next time I hope I'm up with a better fit. But I tell you, having a day taken away from me when I'm really close to teaching and I'm all worked up, it's hard. And then 2 weeks later, I want to get up and it doesn't seem to be that hard this morning. Okay, Father, thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. And thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ had an idea that is not man's idea, that is not to form an organization, is not to have big buildings, although there can be. It is to show each one of us that we're saved. We have the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to give us fruit, use our lives, and you surprise us. You really surprise us, Father, when we understand the truth and decide to take a few steps of faith. As we talk about this, or as I talk about it, help us to see how unique this is, how we can function together. Let all people who believe in Jesus Christ are members of the body, be it the local church or the universal church. And we are part of this. And you have plans for what you want to do, even among us. And we need to understand what you want done, how we do it, how we live. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the cross.